Welcome back to the Own Your Awkward podcast. I'm your host, Andy Vargo, and every episode we get into what has made our guests vulnerable and how they've learned how to own their awkward in order to live their best life. Stay tuned so you can hear every awkward moment in today's show. Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Own Your Awkward podcast. I'm super excited and blessed to have an amazing guy with us today. Simon Severino is a TEDx speaker and author of Strategy Sprints and a leader of that movement. Simon, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Hello, everybody. Excited to be here.
Thanks for joining us. This is awesome. Simon, where are you coming from? You're not here in the United States. I know that.
Vienna, Austria. Well, most of the day I am in San Francisco and in Los Angeles, but from the comfort of my home office in Vienna, Austria.
That's amazing. Isn't it great what we can do with technology? We can just pop in anywhere in the world.
Yes, it's amazing.
I love that. Well, Simon, I like to ask all my guests, and it's especially great to hear from someone in another part of the world. What is the most positive thing you see happening right now out there?
Wow, there is innovation at an accelerated rate. I think what would have happened in 10 years is happening right now in 12 months, accelerated by the pandemic and by the reaction to the pandemic, which was mainly creating debt. And that has created a whole cycle of disruption and innovation. So we are seeing destruction of real world economy, and we are seeing creation of new economy happening at an amazing pace. So it's both. It's like Shiva dancing, destroying stuff and also creating stuff out of nothing at the same time. Immense opportunities.
That's a really good point. You know, we have things that we face in life that are challenging, like a pandemic. That challenging is probably a small word for a lot of people, but we don't always see that silver lining right away. And with that, we're forced to innovate.
I was thinking pre-pandemic, you know, I run a small business, which is a consulting business, the Strategy Sprints team. And pre-pandemic, as a strategy advisor, I was thinking, oh, in 10 years, we will be full remote and full digital. And then the pandemic came, and from one day to the other, we lost $500,000 in revenues because it was all events based on stages and on events. And so from one day to the next, $500,000 gone from the order book. And we had to do that 10 years plan in a month.
Wow.
So we just accelerated what was coming anyways, because the internet was around already 15 years. But we were like, okay, I have 10 years before we go fully remote, fully digital. And in reality, I had just 10 days and I didn't know it. Yeah. And so we accelerated that transition that became an immense opportunity. And today we are a global business and we operate from LA to Singapore. And very similar things are happening in almost any industry right now. So I am really excited, and this is what I'm working on with my clients, but also on my own revenue systems and also investment systems, because where there is distraction, there is also opportunity. And so I'm coaching clients on how to make the revenue systems more resilient, but also their investment systems. And also with some clients, we are directly buying competitors because they are cheap right now. And so you can grow also via acquisitions, which usually is very expensive, but right now it's a good time.
Yeah, it's eye-opening what can be done when you take the timeline and put it right in front of you and say, this has to be immediate. And like you said, the tools are already there. The internet's already operating. The clients are already there. You know, maybe their openness to being remote was increased, but you made it happen. 10 years to 10 days. That's pretty exciting. Yeah. Well, Simon, you're here because the world wants to know about your awkward. So what is that thing? What is that awkward thing you've had to own to live your best life?
I'm owning right now that I don't know how to grow money. So I don't know if I have 100,000, I don't know how to grow that to 1,000,000. I didn't learn that at school. My parents didn't teach me. So I don't know how to do it. What I learned over 21 years is how to make money. I'm really good at creating revenue systems, and that's what I coach. That's my profession. That's what I do every day with people, right? Helping them create revenue systems, how to get money in. And so I'm very good at doing revenue for myself, bringing in projects, bringing in cash flow. But then what happens with it? You know, I have three kids and a wife and a life. Okay, you can spend a little bit of it. But the rest is really much better to have a system on how to grow that, like a garden, that over 10 years, you might triple it or quadruple it just by doing nothing, just by giving it a little bit of water. And so there are these growing systems, and many people know how to do that since generations. I don't. I'm a student of these things. I've just started in the last 2 years because I had time during the pandemic. And so I'm now a student of investing systems. And I'm sharing the journey on my YouTube channel on what I'm learning every day, what I'm learning from people that are experts in this, like Warren Buffett, Ray Dalio, etc. So I'm studying what other people have developed over decades in terms of systems for decision making, for growing money, because I have no idea how to do that. Yeah, that's my current. I have many awkwards. That's one. Sure. I can go further.
Yes. Well, I'm curious. You mentioned the distinction between making money and growing money, and a lot of people don't realize how different that is. Was there a point where you realized that that needed to be something you were doing different?
Yeah, and it took me forever. And I don't know why it took me so long. I just didn't know it. And that's why I'm sharing it, because maybe others are also this way. So when you think of building a business, the first thing is you go, okay, let's get clients, let's get projects, let's solve problems. Okay, I did that for 20 years. So I learned how to make more than 1,000,000 in revenue in a year. I learned how to hire people and to scale that a little bit further. But what I didn't learn is, hey, how much percentage of that do you really put into a money growth system? Money can grow for you. Yeah. And most people don't live, maybe they don't know it. Then, okay, let's educate them. Maybe they know it, but there is a self-sabotaging mindset. And I think that's what's blocking most people, actually. And that was blocking me. Because if you have this mindset of hustling, of building, of crunching, then you always think in that way. But that's a mindset of luck. There is something missing. And so I have to build. And it's a total new shift. And this is where I'm awkward, because I'm new in this new shift, new mindset. But I've learned that at some point, you can go directly to an abundance mindset. And you can have your money work for you. So I knew that at some point, you can have your business work for you. But now you can even have a small part of the business, which is the profits. And maybe you have just 20% of those profits every week working for you. While you sleep, they can create money, can create money. So that's actually the highest lever that you have. The second highest is revenue systems. And having a business that runs independently from you. But the first one is having money working for you.
Right.
And it's much easier.
Yeah. And I like that you point out even just taking a percentage, because I think when you're in that lack mindset, you tend to feel like you don't have the money if you can't put all of your money into that stream. And the reality is you have to start somewhere, and you have to find out what can you afford to start putting in. And if that's 5%, 10%, 20% over time, that percentage can grow, but you've got to start somewhere.
This is the next thing that I've been learning in these 2 years on my journey of becoming a good investor,
mm-hmm.
my first entries were big volumes. Like I would buy 50,000 of a Google stock or 60,000 of Apple. And, you know, there was a very easy year. And then we had a very bad year. And the bad year taught me to be much more humble.
Mm.
So, hey, Simon, what's your overall portfolio allocation? So the first risk management has become to have an overall portfolio distribution. How much percentage do you want in stocks? How much percentage in digital asset? How much percentage in real estate? How much percentage in cash? To define that first. And then inside of those, what's the sizing? When I buy now, I buy 1K, 2K. If I'm very, very, very bullish, I buy 2K, which is a very different size.
Yeah.
Because it's still a bet. It might still go wrong. So that's what I'm learning right now, to have many bets and to de-risk them. Because nobody is a genius. And you cannot really know. So you have to always gradually bet and validate, bet, validate, bet, validate.
Yeah. And as those bets, you know, sometimes do go wrong, how do you then determine, do you just take that as a loss, or is there a lesson you can take from that to make a better bet the next time?
Yeah, I'm sharing daily on my YouTube channel. What do you do when you go down 10%, 20%, 40%, 50%? What's the right time to exit? What's the right time to hold on and wait until it corrects back? In this case, we have to go back to fundamental analysis. So there are two things to learn. One is the fundamental analysis. What's the value of the asset? And the second one is the technical analysis. What's the price of the asset? The value is what it really solves for the world, for people. And that's very different from the price. Price is always either totally overvalued or totally undervalued. So you have technology, which solves problems. Let's say Amazon solves the problem of, I need something, bring it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is the price of Amazon. And the price of Amazon was historically always undervalued. And people say, oh, this is never going to be anything. I remember Amazon at $200 and everybody was saying, this is dead. This cannot work. And now Amazon is quite overvalued. And the markets never stay at fair value. Never. It's like a bipolar person. They are either very depressed and they undervalue assets, or they are hypomanic. They are like on drugs and they overvalue the growth trajectory. There is never fair value. So what you're doing when you do technical analysis is you always compare to the value and you're making an assessment. Is the market overestimating the value of this or underestimating? And so you enter when the market underestimates,
right,
and you exit when it overestimates. That's basically the game of investing.
Yeah, it makes it sound very, very black and white when you can dial it in like that. And I imagine for a lot of people, there's probably some emotion tied to it. You know, if you're the biggest fan of Amazon or some new technology, you have to kind of pull that out so that you have an objective analysis.
Yeah, investing is emotionless. So some people say, yeah, I'm buying Apple because I love Apple. Don't do that. Then you're emotional. Don't do that. That's a very bad strategy. It's not a strategy at all. So a strategy is really to have a valuation process. Like I have a 10-step checklist on how to do a fundamental analysis of an asset. And then I have 8 indicators that tell me if it's undervalued or overvalued. That's it. Fundamental analysis, I recheck once a month. And the pricing, so the overvalued or undervalued, the 8 indicators, I look at every week. That's it. And if they say buy, I buy. And if the indicators say sell, I sell. I have no emotions. It's a system that over years grows money.
That makes it sound very simple. Have you Have you found, and for everyone, you've mentioned your YouTube channel, just want to point out to everybody, there's links to that in the description of this. So be sure to go check that out so that you can get more detail. I'm curious, as you're going down this journey, you're learning it now and you're sharing as you learn, how has that changed your life?
Totally changed my life, because now I have multiple streams, like multiple rivers that are flowing all the time. Now I feel very different, because as long as you have just, you know, one river, you're always looking at the water level. Mm-hmm. And I would panic if the water level was going down. I would panic and I would sleep badly and I would feel like a loser. So I would take things personally, depending on the water level. You know, there is Jerry Seinfeld says he feels bad when the battery of his phone is low. He feels low energy. So that's how I would feel by just having one river flowing, which the revenue systems of my business, I would take it really personally. And I would feel really bad on low revenue days. And I would feel like a genius on high revenue days. And that's a very bad system.
Yeah,
very bad. You will burn out on both sides. You don't want to have a bipolar kind of life.
Sounds like you'd be at the mercy of the flux of the income based on how you feel and how you're doing.
Yeah, so a good sales month make you feel great. A bad sales month make you feel miserable. That's pre-systems. Now that I have those systems, I have multiple rivers flowing, and I don't even care if one river is now low level and the next one is high level. You know, overall, there is abundance and stuff is going up every day. There is water everywhere. So it's an abundance mindset. I sleep well. I play a lot with my kids. We have long adventures, long holidays. And I'm less obsessed and I don't take it personally, because it's just many rivers and they have, you know, ebb and flow, and they go up and down. Mm-hmm. And overall, I have an overview every day overall, and I see overall going up, and all the different buckets have different levels, but overall it's going up. I'm very calm.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting idea that you can mention, that you get to play more. I feel like a lot of people may be hesitant to step into having multiple income streams, because with the old mindset they may have had, they would equate more income to more work. And it would be hard to picture that it can actually be freeing when it's passive income or when it's multiple streams.
Yes, and that's the mindset piece. And also because some trading systems are hyperactive, you have to do so much manual work. So I avoid those. I have a long-term investment perspective. I don't trade. The smallest time frame for me is 12 months. That's the smallest time frame. So I don't have to obsess over stuff.
Yeah.
Like, so for example, I'm entering a trade for Disney this week, because I think Disney is highly undervalued. Mm-hmm. And but the time frame is at least 12 months, probably 3 years, 5 years, 10 years that I'm going to hold the Disney stock, because I'm just betting that it's worth more than what is priced right now. And so it will go up a lot over the next 5 years. So do I have to obsess about it? No, I will check weekly what it's doing. Mm-hmm. And I will watch who's winning the streaming competition. Is it Netflix or Disney or somebody else, right? And I have fun. It's intellectually stimulating for me to just check those 10 to 12 assets that I hold. That's why it's also important that you limit the amount of assets that you hold, because it should be stuff that you are actually interested in keeping up with. So I'm interested in Tesla, Amazon, Google, and I'm not interested in others. So that's why I'm in there, because it's fine for me to read the news 10 minutes every day, because I find it really interesting. I prefer that than to watch TV. I don't have a TV.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. And this is the thing that people sometimes miss when they're trying to create their life that they want is that it has to be interesting to you. It has to be part of something that you want to spend your time on. Because if you're trying to look at dry stocks that are commodity based and you have no interest in keeping up on commodities or whatever that thing is for you, you're making it work instead of making it fun.
Yeah, that was something that I learned also last year, because I went into all these energy plays because, you know, energy was having the time of its life. And so I went into all this oil and natural gas stuff and gold and silver. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that I absolutely don't care about these things. And so I ended up selling all of them. Because there is nothing more boring for me than to look at the oil price every week. Who cares about the oil price? Come on.
Right. Yeah. I think it's hard to admit sometimes that it's okay not to care. Like, it's okay to say, I'm not into that.
I think it's really important for everybody to know. And actually, that's maybe we move now from my awkward side to where I have something to share, because this is where I'm actually an expert. Mm-hmm. This is when you build your business, one of the main decision points is, what do I care about? Mm. And what can I contribute? I think these are the two most important questions for everybody. So when I ask myself, what do I care about? That's basically your values, right? But how do you know that those are your values? Because you deeply care about. If you see something happening, you are either totally pissed or totally happy. Mm-hmm. Then this is something you deeply care about. That's one of your values. So I care about two things. Truth and freedom. Mm. These are the two things I care about. If I see somebody saying something that is not truth, I turn into a volcano inside. Mm-hmm. I might stay polite and calm, but inside of me, I turn into a volcano. And when I see people disrespecting the freedom of other people, I turn into a volcano. So this is how you know these are your values. So my values are truth and freedom, and everything I do has to do with that. So the conversation we're having right now, I'm being as truthful as possible, sharing with you my awkwardness and my learnings. Mm-hmm. And I want to do this to increase my freedom and everybody's freedom. Financial freedom, right? And freedom to live the life that you want to have in this case. So these are the two things that I care about. And I think it's important that everybody ask themselves, what do I really deeply care about? And you write them down. Don't make them more than 5, 6, because otherwise you don't remember them. So,
right.
And really write them down. And every moment of the day, check if you are living that in its maximum manifestation.
Mm-hmm. And the key thing there that I think you really hit on is that emotion behind it, right? Like, I'm pissed if somebody's not being truthful, or like I'm boiling up like this volcano, because that really tells us the things that we can't logically or intellectually sit down. Because we can sit down and it's nice to say, well, I want to focus on this, or this is what I want to prioritize on. But when you see something happening around you and it sparks emotion, that really does answer that question.
Yes. And the next question is, who am I? So what do I have to contribute? Mm-hmm. And this will help you pick the one offering, the one service that you are here to do for the next 15 years and that you can pick. So I picked for myself, I picked Strategy Sprints. So 6 years ago, I started a company, I called it Strategy Sprints. So I'm here, what can I offer? Strategy in sprints. So what is strategy? Is what's the right thing to do for me to grow mm-hmm. revenues and to grow money? And then in sprints is how do I do it in weekly sprints? The habits of executing that, your plan, right? So that's the fight I picked 6 years ago. And every day I'm on 6 podcasts, I'm on multiple Zoom places, events, one-to-one coachings. I do only that since 6 years, every day, 10 hours. So picking one fight and then consistently showing up for that. That makes the difference. I have only one product. It's the 90-day strategy sprint. It's a one-to-one coaching. It doubles revenue in 90 days. Only one product, and it has the same name as the book. I just wrote a book. Guess what's the title of the book?
Strategy Sprint. Yeah.
Guess what's the name of my YouTube channel?
I would guess Strategy Sprints.
Yes. And so if you put into the internet search engine of your choice, Strategy Sprints, it's us. It's three pages of us.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you win the game long term, by just picking a fight, showing up every day, living it according to your values. So expressing your values in the words, in the actions that you do, and doing that every day. Over the long term, the internet respects that.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of noise out there on the internet, and a lot of advice and bad advice people have about how to get passive income, how to grow their sales, how to create this business. And it overcomplicates things to where people start, you know, diluting their focus way too much. So your model, what you're talking about and what you've done, where it's one thing, one product, one book that matches the product, one name, that it almost makes it sound too easy.
Yeah, it's not easy, because in many points you have to restrict yourself. Mm-hmm. Imagine how many times I had an idea to start something, to test something, to broaden it. And so at many times you have to keep focused. So it's not that easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. It takes discipline and focus over years to do it. And so creating the revenue system, yes, you do it by simplifying your offer, one price for one set of people. I only work with B2B business teams, only with four of them, the owner, one person from marketing, one from sales, and one from operations. Mm-hmm. That's the team of four. I only work in cycles of 90 days. And the outcome is only to double their revenue. That's it. And only B2B space. We don't take B2C people.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's an excellent business model. Did you notice, have you found a way when you get that distraction or that urge to start some new product, or, you know, and maybe it was a different answer early on versus now as you were getting momentum. How do you curb that urge?
I really ask myself, is the potential of this 10 times what I'm currently doing? Can it 10x my current business?
Mm-hmm.
And if yes, then I run a small experiment and I give myself a limit. Let's say the limit is $300, 13 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then I call it an experiment. I write down my thesis, I run with the thesis, and if it shows me a 10x, well, then that's my new main thing.
Mm-hmm.
But usually those ideas, they come fast, they go fast. I invalidate them in 12 days, 14 days. And what I see many people do is they run two parallel things that never works. I've never seen anybody build two Amazons at once. Never. Come on. If you remember Jeff Bezos building Amazon, even this one thing was dying all the time. Every year, newspapers say, it's dead. It's dead. Look at this. I told you so. So come on. Even growing one thing needs your full attention.
Right. And I get this visual of trying to see someone sprint, and you can't sprint in two directions at once. You've got
exactly. Yes, it's an energy thing. If you don't embody it, if I ask you, what are your three goals
mm-hmm.
for the next 3 months? you can tell me that. If you're running four different businesses, can you really tell me 12 goals right now? Can you have them right now in your body? You right. can't. You will say, oh, give me a second. I have a Google Doc. If I pull it up, I can tell you. Well, then it's not in your body right now. It's never going to work.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I used to really struggle with was focusing. And I was that guy where I wanted to be a professional brainstormer because I felt like the ideas were always firing, and they still do. But I've learned to put them on a list in the back of the book and say, okay, this idea is great. It's not important enough to sidetrack where I'm going. And once I finish this path, I'll cue that one up. And similar idea, if it's timely enough, if it's important enough, then I can see if it needs to be adjusted. But I've had to learn to hold on to the idea for later, but get it out of my mind so it's just written down in the back of a book.
Yes. And there is the power of restraining yourself. So we are all creative people. If we are entrepreneurs, we are all very creative, brainstorming kind of people. So there is a power in giving yourself boundaries. For example, Hemingway, Picasso, everybody had boundaries. Hemingway had a number of hours that he would allow himself to write. He said, I'm starting at 8, I'm stopping at 2 p.m., that's it. 10 minutes after 2 p.m., I still have an idea. It has to wait until tomorrow. That's the boundary. Mm-hmm. And the second boundary was, what's the most simple way of putting it? Mm. Every sentence was the most simple sentence possible. So he gave himself boundaries. Picasso gave himself boundaries. There was one idea that he was going for. And every day he would do 12, 20, sometimes 35 paintings, but he was expressing one idea. So those are boundaries, and you can be ultra creative, but you will only express it if you give yourself boundaries on where you can express it. If you go on Instagram, the best Instagrams have boundaries. For example, some make photographers only in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
These are the most beautiful Instagram accounts. It's also probably the hardest thing on the planet to do. I could never have the discipline. I would miss colors, right? But they do it and they stick to it, and it's just black and white, and those things are beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because of the boundary.
And I think Instagram is a great modern example of that, because you can look at one and you can visually see the clutter in somebody's mind based on what yes. they're putting up there.
Yes.
Yeah. So you picked strategy sprints to be your focus, to be your thing. What called you to that?
At some point, you have to pick a fight, right? Mm-hmm. You have to pick one thing, give yourself those boundaries, and then express your values in that area every day. So it was just, I had to pick something. You know, you start a company, you have to pick a name.
Right.
Simple. So, and the only thing that I knew is this is not going to be Severino Consulting, because I don't want this to be a personal thing. I want this thing to have identification for everybody. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, all right, who am I here to serve? The people who don't watch TV, who don't like meetings, the people who are building stuff instead, the awkward people who build stuff. And so I called them the sprinters. I say, okay, these people are the sprinters. Very awkward people. They don't like meetings. They don't like events. They just do stuff.
Hmm.
And they love it when they create. So I call them the sprinters. So I'm here to serve the sprinters. So what's the name? Okay, strategy sprints. That was the decision point. Very, you could say, random. At some point, you have to decide. But this decision had then consequences for all other behaviors. And so I had to pick a fight. I picked one. I'm here to serve only B2B business owners, small teams, four of them, doubling their revenue in 90 days. And so every day I show up and I ask, hey, people, how is it going? Let's look at the weekly sprint dashboard. And they go, oh, my marketing is not so good. Okay, I have to build something for you on how you improve your LinkedIn marketing. You're spending too much time. It's not working. Look at this. You have 30 likes. That's not engagement. Mm-hmm. You need comments. You need 50 comments. So let me create a video for you on how you get 50 comments in the first half an hour. And so I build that for them, literally. And so every week they tell me what they need. I build it. I put it into the Sprint University. And this is how now the Sprint University, after many years of doing this, it's a wonderful toolbox of 274 videos, blueprints, swipe copies, checklists. But how did they build them? Just because people were asking me for it. Simon, I don't know how to build a community out of my clients. I have 200 clients. I could start a mastermind with 50 of them, but I don't know how to start a community. And I said, I don't know either, but let me study this. And so I hire community builders. I pay them to coach me to build my own community. And then I create videos. Hey, this is what I'm learning about community building. So at the same time, it's content creation. And I'm sharing the checklists, the real things that work with my own clients. And that's how I grow the Sprint University. When the next clients come in and they have a 90-day sprint, they have even more checklists in there. And they go, oh, my God, this is like the Netflix of business blueprints. And I say, yeah, welcome to the Sprint University.
Well, and it sounds like you are the ultimate learner, because you're taking that thing and finding other people's pain points or issues and being able to say, okay, well, if you haven't been able to figure it out, I may or may not have encountered this, but I'm going to go learn it.
Yeah. So there are things where I am the expert creating revenue systems and creating business systems. And there are things where I'm a learner. Right now, I'm learning investing systems. I'm learning CRM systems. I'm learning yoga for CEO mindset. Mm. So the internal yoga, the spiritual yoga for this CEO mindset that we were talking about. Because you need that as an investor. You need that as a CEO. Stop being, you know, the builder and start being the abundant wealth being that you are, and enjoy just wealth growing around you from wealth.
Yeah.
That's a thing that I'm learning. And so I'm always learning things. Currently, it's these three things. You see, again, like my three goals, I have three learning places. Why? Because you cannot learn seven things at once.
Right.
So I don't have a TV. I don't have any Netflix or Disney or whatever. I just learn stuff by doing it. And then I share the journey. This is how I create content. This is how I create product and offer. Because it's always in close contact with the people who I'm here to serve.
Yeah, that's amazing. What I love is that it's so in the moment. Like there's a need, you're identifying it, and right away you're capturing it, but not only for that moment, but cataloging it for later. So when someone else comes in, you've got this wealth to build on, plus whatever their new needs are. So you're not starting at square one with each client.
That's how you build a business. You do stuff in the moment for real people, but then you also save it for all other people out there in other countries, in other industries, in future moments. Your future clients will also need it. So that's how you then standardize, modularize, productize your offerings, your services. But you always have to start with a real need, a vital need right here, right now from somebody. You solve it for them. You get paid to solve it, but you reuse it 100 times in the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. This is how you build a business as a professional service. I run a professional service company, a consulting company.
And it seems that in that way, every sprint actually gets faster and faster. Like you're really continually adding value and more value each time you serve a new client, because you've got this wealth from the past to bring with you.
That's exactly what happens. The first sprint took 6 months, 7 months, 8 months to double revenue. And now we can guarantee 3 months, because the blueprints are so validated right now. And there are so many that people save a ton of time, because it takes them just 30 minutes to do a marketing strategy, a sales strategy, to hire people, which without those blueprints, it takes you like 4 weeks to hire somebody. Mm-hmm. With the blueprints, you save so much time, and that's the time compression. And every expert, every technology helps you save time. So whenever you improve something, you are saving time of somebody. Whenever you give them your blueprints, it took me 6 months to build them. It takes them 30 minutes to use them. Mm. That's the time compression, and that's the value.
Yeah. And that's, yeah, when you come back to that idea of what is it that's important to you, and then what do you offer? That's that time, that expertise right there. That's it.
Yeah. And you remember truth and freedom. Mm-hmm. So truth, I really live these things. I have to go through them myself. When they work, they become a saved template for somebody else. That's the truth part. And the freedom part is they save them 6 months of work. They don't have to find out how to do competitive analysis. They have the blueprint. They put in half an hour. Mm-hmm. So I freed up weeks of their life. So I create freedom for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I deeply care about. And they will say thank you in monetary form. And so I get that energy back.
Right. Yeah, it's a fair trade.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the loop.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you've mentioned you've got all the learning you're doing on the investing side. You've got everything going on with strategy sprints. Where's the best place for people to give you attention right now? How's the best way for our listeners to support you?
Strategysprints.com. If you want to download some of the templates, they are open source. And the book Strategy Sprint is on Amazon right now. If you want to help yourself, put those less than $20 into buying the Strategy Sprints book, because it has the real blueprints and checklists that I've built over years. It can catapult your business systems forward. It's about marketing systems, the sales systems, the operation systems that I use. And if you want to support me, leave an Amazon review, because that's the best way for Amazon to know, oh, this is relevant, this is helping somebody. And so every review helps the book being found by other entrepreneurs.
Yeah, definitely. And it's that simple. It doesn't cost you anything to leave a review. It doesn't take you more than just a couple minutes of your time. And it means so much as an author to see that come through. So that's a great point. Well, Simon, before we go, what's that last piece of advice you would leave our listeners and viewers with on how they can own their awkward?
Enjoy the current moment. Mm. So I have three little kids. They grow so fast. They remind me to enjoy the moment. So yes, I have goals, but it's 50-50. Yes, I enjoy reaching those goals, but I also enjoy the moment right now of expressing what is important to me, my two values, of expressing them in this moment, in this conversation, by the words that I use and the words that I omit, by the actions that I take and the actions that I avoid. So enjoy the process, not just in 10 years when you have sold your business. No, right now. What lights you up right now? Do more of that.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you call out the difference between the words that you use and the actions you take, but also what you avoid and what you omit, because sometimes we don't realize that that is a choice in what we're bringing to the table.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I can say how I grow money. That's an abundance word. And a high energy, high frequency word. I could say how you lose less money. That's a low frequency and comes from a place of luck. Mm-hmm. You are saying the same thing, but one thing is giving energy to yourself and to others. And the other thing is just killing your energy right now in your body.
Right.
It's the same thing, but it's the words that you use make a difference. Frequency difference and energy difference.
They do. Yeah, it makes a huge difference. It's the kind of the support behind what you're feeling and what you're focusing on is comes through on how you're expressing it. So you have to be purposeful in that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Simon. It's been a pleasure to talk with you today. There's so many nuggets in here. Everyone listening, I hope that you get the book, give it a review, check out the channel and the website, and take this conversation to heart and start putting some good things together in your life. It's been a pleasure, Simon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you, everybody. Keep rolling.
Awesome. And everybody out there, as always, own your awkward.
Thank you so much for listening in for today's show. Be sure to visit awkwardcareer.com to continue your journey. And of course, please like, subscribe, and share with your friends so they can find their awkward side and learn how to own it.